Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 60, the Big 6-0.
Some might call that over the hill.
Is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So,
remember when people used to say that you talk slow on here?
No, they said I talk
it was fast. You're
I'm
right.
Trying to slow down.
Okay. Well, that might have been a little too slow.
Okay.
But
well, that's kind of my mood today, I guess, for some reason. So, you mentioned over the hill. I think all of us are looking forward to, maybe not the right phrasing, but I'm looking to next week to see if we're
going
to
get over the hill means something different.
If we're going to get over the hump of this whole COVID-19 thing. So I feel like that's going to once again dominate our podcast. It is certainly the most newsworthy thing going on that I'm aware of. Before we jump into that, is there anything else not really animal related that's going on in the world that you think is
Well, just locally, right? So we being the state is being pretty publicly criticized about opening a little early in what people's opinions are. I think it's been going okay, but kind of doing my normal travel to and from work, to and from the grocery store, that kind of thing. I feel like there are a lot more people out.
Yeah.
And Lance and I were...
To kind of prove my point, so I ask you, is there anything non-COVID related going on?
You said
on?
Non-animal related. Okay. Do you want to rewind?
No, let's just keep going. So
so it's not animal related, but it's statewide related.
But it's COVID related. I was asking, what's his name? Kim Jong, how do you say his name? The North Korea?
I don't know. Kim Jong-lee, I think.
Kim Jong-un.
Un Lee? I don't know. Anyways, so
he could be dead or he could not be dead.
He supposedly made an appearance.
Okay.
Not on TV or anything, but it was reported he made an appearance.
Okay, so go back to your story about traffic and what's going
on.
Well,
I'm just
here.
Saying that we have been criticized about being allowed to open too early. I don't necessarily think that it's, you know, negatively impact anything locally, but there are a lot more people on the roads than there used to be. There are a lot more people going into restaurants, and I see them going into restaurants without masks, which, I mean, how would you eat with a mask on?
Good point. But there are restrictions, and, I mean, we've talked about this. I'm not sure on the podcast or not, but Home Depot, Lowe's, Publix, Kroger, we have talked about it. These places have been open throughout this whole ordeal, and people have tried to practice their social distancing. They've had some PPE on at times. Hopefully, the restaurants are going to do the same thing, and we will slowly get back to normal. But there still are not as small as I want to see set of people or subset of people who have no idea what's going on and understand what social distancing means. So,
or they are just negligent and,
or they're negligent. I mean, you have people, you know, at Lowe's, you know, looking up on the top of the racks for something, just walking all over you. And I'm just like, dude, back up, you know, come on, let's don't get this close. So, Governor Kemp has definitely been criticized and also has been praised for, kind of leading the way to opening the economy up. And I do really kind of look forward to where we are on the next podcast, what's going on. Hopefully, the curve continues to be quote-unquote flattened, and we know that there's going to be more cases because we're testing more, and it's just the nature of any viral disease. There hopefully are going to be, you know, less percentage-wise deaths, but we'll wait and see. So I did look up, I didn't look it up. I heard it this morning on the news coming in. Over 11,500 deaths in Georgia and over 26,500 cases, positive cases in Georgia. Still, I think if you do the math, about a 4% death rate of those tested.
So, but that's about 3,000 more deaths since we last reported these.
No, it's about it's about 1,000, 1,200, 1,300 more. You want me to look?
No, I just thought it was in the 800s.
I'll look. You talk.
Well, I don't really have anything to talk about as far as the Georgia stats
900,
go.
So 900 deaths.
To 11,000.
And
so.
23,000 cases. So. So yeah.
So what I was going to suggest, I guess, is that even though the state is being allowed to open a little bit more, we have still decided as a company that we will continue curbside care only.
For the next month, at least.
At least until the end of May. And so we've hopefully prepared our staff with that. I suggest maybe we should send back out another email to our clients just to let them know what to expect, that while you are able to walk into your local Mexican restaurant, you're still not able to just willy-nilly walk into our animal hospital. So
yeah, and we've got the signs out front that really say for curbside care call, which is the only model we have going right now. But yeah, I think we need to kind of communicate with them what our plan is.
Sure.
And then we definitely see value to this curbside model moving forward for people that want to maybe call in and order a bag of dog food, and they can pull into the parking lot, give us a call, give us a ring, if you will, if you're from Britain, and we can run the product out to them. And likewise, we can bring the pets in, do a quick service, and bring them back out. So I definitely, you and I were talking earlier, excuse me, today, that we've talked about on the podcast, like this whole click and pick kind of a thing.
Oh yeah,
like we did not understand that, like, sure. Why are you going to order your groceries, have
I
somebody
don't want someone
pick
picking
your
my
groceries
fruit. Yeah.
Out, and then you're gonna call when you get in the parking lot, you're gonna wait 5-10 minutes for them to bring them out. That is not super convenient. Or why are you gonna do the same thing at Best Buy? You're gonna order it online, you're gonna go in, wait in line to get the product you paid for. It's not that much more efficient. But today we're like, wow, this has been forced on us. We totally get it. And I'm not completely using that mode or model to order things, but I definitely see the convenience. And I do think this has forced all of the technological advances. That's a very hard word for me to say, evidently.
Sounds like
It's kind of forced all that on us to start using that, including our whole telehealth platform.
Yeah, so I still stand beside that. I don't really want someone picking my fresh fruit or going to the meat department and picking meat for me. However, I do believe that this whole click list thing or click and pull or whatever it's called does serve a purpose, right? Like, I told you, I needed to get something from Target, and rather than go in and expose myself, I ordered it online, paid for it online, and the Target app is really smart. It knows when you're in the parking lot, and it basically alerts them, and and then they walk it out, and they confirm who you are, scan your app, and send you on your way. If you had other things to do, and what you were picking up wasn't, I don't know, user-specific or whatever, like, you didn't have to put a lot of subjectivity into purchasing
Charmin
it.
Charmin toilet paper or whatever.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. If you need your Sam's List, order it all online. We've done that forever here at the clinic. We've ordered all of our Sam's stuff. It's a bit more efficient having them pull 3 carts full of product than going through the store and pulling it.
Yes, nobody wants to go do that with those orders, for sure.
So some of it has, I guess, made sense in the past, but now it's all... ha ha ha, clicking together.
Wow. Wow. So we've talked in the past about hashtag GVA strong. Driving around the area, including Atlanta, I'm starting to see a lot of yard signs that say heroes work here.
Or live here.
Mm-hmm. So that's at nursing homes, hospitals, any type of healthcare facility. I mentioned right before we started the podcast that if I was brave enough, outgoing enough, whatever enough, I would start a campaign for, I don't know if it would be pet heroes work here or veterinary nurse heroes work here. But the only person I've ever heard, and this was secondhand from Brother Allen, that called out the vet clinics as being essential, and what's the health, what are they tagging health
essential.
Just essential healthcare
workers.
So here
in Georgia, we're called critical infrastructure.
But the only person I've heard, you know, praise our industry was Michelle Obama on that thing they did.
I can second that, but I do believe that there have been some, like, big corporations, you know, so, like, Starbucks is very well known right now for giving a huge discount to the frontline workers, right?
But they're asking if you're a healthcare worker to, you know, pull up and show your badge, your ID.
Yeah, but I'm just saying what I was getting at is that Dunkin' Donuts, as far as I understand, has publicly said, like, not necessarily they're giving discounts or whatever, but like healthcare workers, frontline workers, and their veterinary staff.
Okay.
So I'm pretty certain Dunkin' Donuts did say something about that when this all kind of first started.
There was a running shoe store, Fleet Feet, in Peachtree City that this morning on the news, they, similar thing, the frontline workers, they wanted everybody to be in the most comfortable pair of shoes they can be in. So they're going to give away couple thousand pairs of shoes. Just come to the store. I don't know if it's go in the store, if it's curbside. I have no idea, but they're trying to outfit people and get support from their vendors to do that. So that was very cool. We had a couple of Zoom meetings, or I had a couple of Zoom meetings this past week. One was with my study group, VMG10. And we have decided that we're going to meet for the next, or rather every 2 weeks, until hopefully this pandemic ordeal is subsided.
So interesting, right? So your study group meeting, you met twice a year otherwise.
Yes. So there's some good that's going to come out of this, right? The whole technology thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to figure out how to use it better, become more efficient, but also I think stay in contact a little bit more.
Sure.
But I thought that was very cool, and everybody loves the Zoom meeting. I was just in follow-up. Hold that thought.
Okay.
We had our first doctor's meeting.
Here at GVA.
Mm-hmm. GVA, yep. Completely Zoom, and that was kind of nice because people that didn't work, or weren't working rather, could Zoom in and we could all get together. So we're figuring it out.
That Zoom meeting that we did here with all of our doctors at GVA actually is what made me chuckle the most. I watched this video on YouTube, or not YouTube, Facebook, the other day, and it was a guy basically like depicting or mimicking all of the different Zoom types. And so he was holding his coffee cup, staring at the screen, taking a sip, the drinker. And then he was walking through his house, so you could see like everything past the walker, right?
Yeah.
And then there was the guy outside with the birds, the outsider, right? And then there was the person that had the video, so you could only see their eyes and their eyebrows. I just thought it was so funny. And like, on some of the Zoom meetings that I've been a part of, and also those that I've done with family, there's always somebody like that in a meeting, right? There's the person who is walking around with their computer just aimlessly. It seems like they have nowhere to go, nothing to do but just walk in circles while they're in this meeting.
Oh, gosh.
There's the person who's sitting outside, Dr. Stevens, right?
Yeah.
I guess because your inside is just not quiet enough. There's the chewer, right? So someone who's taken a bite of their food. There's the drinker. It just was so funny. And, you know, we do a lot of our Zoom meetings here at GVA, or the two that I've partaken in, over lunch. And so we definitely see people eat.
Crazy. So driving in this morning to work, I heard that if you did not buy Zoom stock, you've missed out.
Oh,
I
certainly.
I didn't even think about it.
I didn't know that they were publicly traded.
Yes, they are. So their 52-week low was $60. Their 52-week high is $181 currently.
That's not quite. It's only doubled.
Three times.
To 18. Okay. I gotcha.
So, but I didn't even think
about
that.
Nobody ever said I was quick.
Well, no, you are quick. You're just not really great with math. You're great with a lot of things, with many, many things. Sound like Trump. Many, many, many good, many, 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 many great things. You're really great. You're great. You're really good at many things.
Except this one.
But not math.
Right. Okay, thanks.
But, You're right. There was a story last week of a news channel interviewing one of their reporters at home, and it shows him, and he's talking, and then all of a sudden you kind of look down, and he's wearing his boxer shorts with his suit top.
Yeah.
So
didn't I say this like a while back ago when we started talking about this, that Walmart reported an increase in sales in their clothing, but only in the tops and not in the bottoms?
That's crazy.
Which I don't know that Walmart sells suits or whatever, but pretty sure they thought don't. It was interesting.
I would not. If they do, I do not want one. So,
well, you? It could be good. I don't know.
Could be
value driven.
Could be.
I took a survey the other day and said, like, basically, since coronavirus, are you more dollar-driven or value-driven? And mine was very much value-driven before and after corona.
Where'd you take the survey from?
I don't recall.
I would agree, value, I mean...
But I think I've always been value-driven. I will pay more for it if I feel like there's value in it.
But you have to have a certain level of money there to do that. If you truly do not have enough money. If money is a limiting factor, then it's the limiting factor.
And so I think that's what the survey was asking, basically. Like, how affected are you, quote-unquote, economically, right? And so, like, before coronavirus, when you purchase things, were you more value-driven or money-driven? And then after, I think I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree that I'm very similar.
But I also, knock on wood and, you know, thankfully, have not experienced financial crisis during this pandemic because I've been allowed to work and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of people have, for sure. In other GVA news.
Yes.
We did pick winners for the GVA photo contest.
Yes. They're going to be announced on Monday, so the same day that this podcast drops.
Okay. Via Facebook or how?
They are via Facebook, and then I think they're individually notified.
And so explain what we did last year with the contest and what happened with those winners, please.
So last year, the contest winner. So basically the contest is we ask for people to submit photos on our Facebook page, and then we vote on them. We take an internal vote for a staff pick. We have the most funniest. And then we, as I would say, upper level management, pick, and our marketing people pick the top four winners based on a number of different things, right? How many likes they got, what their interaction is on our Facebook pages, our other pages, if they're obviously good standing clients, which they have to be to participate.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that kind of go into whom we pick. And then obviously the pet, because we want a very photogenic pet. So last year we had a number of winners from all different hospitals, and our marketing director took photos of them. And then those photos are actually what you will see on our website.
So to clarify, after the fact, she went out and did photo shoots with these dogs.
Them. Yeah.
And came up with some really nice photos.
So the point
she in, being Jen.
Yeah. So the point in doing the photo contest was because we wanted to use actual photos versus stock photos for our website when we started redesigning it. And Jen's done a really good job. Obviously, we're using...
She's done a really good job. She's, in fact, a great job she's done.
Yes.
Really.
And we're not
really
just saying that.
Really a good job.
No, but we're obviously using a bit of a... I don't know, not quite cookie cutter, I guess. But it is a templated website, but she's done really well with making it her own, our own, and distributing, you know, what we wanted. And thanks a lot to the people who submitted their photos and allowed us to do that, because
we had over 30 pages of photos that we reviewed, and there were, you know, multiple obviously photos per page. So
yeah,
a really good turnout there. So the winners also, some of the winners got a bit of a reward.
They do get some account credit,
some preventatives,
some gifts, if you will. Yeah. Not gifs, but gifts. Gifts with a T. From our vendors and things like that. It's really cool. Yeah, I'm
so
kind of excited to see what will happen this year.
Be announced tomorrow or today if you're listening to the podcast on our Facebook. How do people find us on Facebook for those of us like me who don't really partake a lot in Facebook?
It's really difficult. You type the name in.
And so would it be under Russell Ridge, under Georgia Veterinary Associates, under GVA?
You can, I think you could type in GVA and you might find some of our hashtags, even though Facebook is not like really hashtag friendly, I guess, but people are using them more. So I think you could use it as a search. But yeah, we actually have a page for all hospitals. We also have a page, a Facebook page for the Care Fund. We do not have a Facebook page for the podcast, but we do have an Instagram page.
Okay.
So if they wanted to find any of the hospitals, they essentially type the hospital name in or type in the corporate name and find us that way.
All right. Let's move into the word of the week. The word of the week is PANIS.
Can you stop that clicking?
That?
Yes.
PANUS.
The word of the week is PANIS.
Do you know why I chose it? So I know
this has something to do with the eye. I think that's why you chose it.
No, because of pandemic.
Oh.
So.
I thought we were sticking to the eye.
There are so many, we've talked about this, there are so many cool terms related to the eye. More so than any other system that I'm aware of. Nervous system, GI, skin, they're not these cool words. So, PANIS. Pan, do you know what the Latin root word, or it's actually a prefix, pan means?
Wander, move, I don't know. I'm thinking like panning, like a camera pans.
Yeah, so we're not talking about a frying pan, but we're talking about like the Pan American Games.
Around?
Pandemic.
Around?
Panorama.
Inclusive? All? Everything?
Global, worldwide, all inclusive. Yes,
I'm going to keep guessing and getting
that's
it.
That's what pan means. And so, PANIS, on the contrary.
Well, that's not confusing. Why is it contrary?
Well, it is because it's not like an all-inclusive, all-encompassing disease. It is, by definition, and I learned something new today, which I try to learn something new every day. It's a condition in which a layer of vascular fibrous tissue, that's like weird medical terminology, right? Extends over the surface of an organ or other specialized anatomical structure, especially the cornea.
So, wait though, you said vascular fibrous tissue is kind of confusing or kind of weird medical terminology. So it's not a scar, because a scar doesn't necessarily have vasculature.
But it's granulation tissue.
But I think that's the point here, right? Vascular fibrous tissue. So it's not a scar like you would see like a corneal scar or anything like that. It just kind of looks dead. This is actually going to be still vibrant and vascular.
Yeah, usually it's kind of a pinkish to tan raised bed of tissue on the cornea or the outer part, if you will, of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Very common. The most common breed is German Shepherds.
Yes. Yeah. They get all the weird stuff.
So, fun fact, GSD is the terminology for...
The abbreviation.
The abbreviation for German Shepherds, German Shepherd dog. I'm not sure if there's a German Shepherd cat. There could be, but I've never heard of it. So, anyway, very common to see that in the German Shepherd breed.
We did have one German Shepherd here at Russell. She's now passed, but that had PANIS.
Yeah, it definitely... In my history of being a veterinarian, it is definitely the most common breed. Probably 9 out of 10 cases I've seen, which I probably, if I'm being honest, seen 10
and
cases.
And so it's basically just something to document, but there's no treatment?
No, usually it's usually an autoimmune reaction to where the body starts reacting against itself. And so that can happen with any tissue or organ or cell.
Mm-hmm.
Rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune hemolytic anemia.
So what do you do
PANIS,
with it? You get this pink raised mass-like mm-hmm. appearance on the cornea.
So typically you're going to diagnose it by clinical history and appearance. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to scrape some cells from that area and find some inflammatory cells, maybe some eosinophils, maybe some neutrophils. And you're going to kind of rule it out at that point. And then you're going to treat with corticosteroids, typically.
Topical. Some pred.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So it resolves?
Usually you can control it like any autoimmune disease.
Okay.
So, yeah. PANIS.
Very cool. The eyes are so fun, but I would not want to be an ophthalmologist or an ophthalmology technician because I just think you would see the same things.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like... if you saw Panis, you know, you'd see it once a month. You wouldn't.
Yeah, or once a week, maybe even.
It depends, I guess, if you were a referral case, yeah, for sure. But I just feel like the really cool stuff or all the words that we've talked about, you wouldn't see that often.
All right, well, jumping into some news brief stories, I only had a couple. One is somewhat locally related because we work with Fur Kids quite a lot. They are a rescue group, shelter organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I read on their, I guess, newsletter last week that this pandemic has been very, very good for their adoption rate.
So we've talked about this with the whole puppy situation. I feel like there's a lot of pets being adopted. But on the contrary, I also feel like when this all first started, there were a lot of pets being surrendered because people were fearful that their pets were going to give them or carry coronavirus. And I personally am a little bit fearful of all the pets that are being adopted now. Like, what is it going to look like in 6 months?
Yeah.
So, but I'm super happy to see. I mean, I've seen the videos on the news and on Facebook where all these shelters in all these different states are empty for the first time ever. And that is fantastic.
Yeah. But the negative, because I always try to balance things out, is a lot of these rescue organizations did not have their big gala during this whole pandemic.
Fundraising events.
They have had to shut down their thrift stores, which raises a lot of money for them. They probably are not having as many volunteers. In fact, I mean, I'm sure they're not. They're not able to allow these volunteers. And so I have not spoken to our contact at Fur Kids in a while, but I'm sure they're very severely affected like most of us.
Yeah, for sure.
So good and bad there. The last story that I had to talk about, which I think you said Joyce.
Joyce, one of our very,
very Southern
listeners.
Very Southern lady. Super, super sweet. If you've ever had any interaction with her as a groomer of your pet, she is just, I mean, super unique, but definitely Georgian through and through.
Sure.
And we love our Joyce. And so shout out to you, Joyce, because I know you always listen every week. But she said, make sure, you told me, she said, make sure y'all talk about the pug that tested positive.
Yeah, can we talk about the pug that tested positive? For sure. So there's been a lot of talk about this little pug because he is the first dog in the United States to test positive, right? So there were a couple of reports that a couple of dogs tested positive in China, and the CDC and everyone basically kind of came out and said the same thing, like your pet is not going to give you coronavirus. But I think with all these things that have come about, and now obviously this pug being diagnosed, we are recognizing that pets, both dogs and cats, are susceptible to this disease in the sense that there are very rare instances where they will have positive tests.
Right.
So we're kind of acknowledging it, but we're still telling people it is not a pet disease, it's a human disease.
CDC, AVMA, AHA, all of our parent organizations and authorities, if you will, are saying, yes, we recognize that kind of like staph and strep and some of these other diseases, your pet, it makes sense. Your pet is going to be right in your face most of the time. And so if you wind up testing positive, there's a very, they're not saying this, but there is a chance that your pet may test positive. But even though reportedly the big cats at the zoo and the other cats the last week or the week before and this dog are quote unquote showing mild respiratory signs, they're really not getting sick and dying from from COVID-19. So the recommendation is still not to test every pet that shows a respiratory symptom. Let's kind of let this thing play out.
Yeah, so I guess what I was getting at earlier is that still the point being is that it's a human disease. We are passing it to the pets. The pets are not passing it to us. The pet didn't get the disease. In this case with the dog in North Carolina, my understanding is that both parents are frontline workers. They're both in the human healthcare industry. Both them and one of their two children tested positive.
Correct.
So And then one of their house pets of three tested positive.
Right.
And again, I don't know.
So it's very sensational.
Why it was tested? Was the dog symptomatic? I didn't read all of that.
But domesticated pets in the U.S., this is now three cases.
Right.
And I think I said earlier, 26,000 positive cases of people.
In Georgia. Mm-hmm.
And what is, I have no idea what the nationwide count is. I quit keeping up. So I'm going to kind of go with the whole Trump theme again. I'm not going to say fake news, but very sensational. It's very interesting.
It's nice to know. And I think the point being is that if we're being honest, the veterinarians and maybe even some of the human healthcare workers in CDC and some of these other organizations probably always suspected that domesticated pets could potentially test positive.
Right.
They were never going to say that 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. I think now that we've had three positive cases or four positive cases here in the States, it's something that they're willing to acknowledge.
Yeah.
But again, it is not
a
pet disease. It's
right.
a human disease, and those pets are picking it up. And likewise, I definitely think that there are certain things that are pet diseases that humans get, and I can't think of one at the moment that's not... I mean, I guess we would classify it as zoonotic if it was that way, but rare, right?
But and then the final, my final thought anyway is, if you are COVID-19 positive,
right,
distance yourself from your pet.
Absolutely,
and that's the new recommendation. CDC came out with a very extensive list of recommendations for veterinarians, as I'm sure they have for every
industry.
You know,
sure.
The salons and haircutters, they are somewhat fearful of what they need to be doing because of the recommendations from CDC and other people. They're like, oh, you don't have to wear a mask, but I have to. And oh, I have to do this. I have to wear gloves. So I'm always about understanding the why, you know.
Absolutely.
Those are recommendations. They're not requirements. They're not laws, but understand why you're doing what you're doing. So anyway, anything else on your end?
I don't think so. We will definitely continue to monitor this and follow it as it takes its toll and hopefully progresses in a positive way here through Georgia as we begin to open up. So
yeah, well, I think Governor Kemp has done a great job. I think the proof's in the pudding, and we're not going to know until we get another week, two, three down the road, really, if that was the right decision. But I do applaud him for kind of stepping up and giving a recommendation to the people of Georgia, and also saying, just because I said you can go into these places of business doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
If you're elderly, if you're sick, if you're, you know, one of those classified people,
absolutely,
stay at home and shelter in place.
Absolutely. Well, do you have anything else?
No.
All right. I'll go ahead and sign us out then. So check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. I did post last week. Did
oh
I share
gosh,
that with
the first
you?
Time in like what?
Since January.
Wow.
But I'll make sure to post again this week. Follow all the clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. And please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're getting it from. If for whatever reason you have an issue finding it.
Share it with your friends and family.
Oh, yeah. Share it.
Text us, Instagram us, somehow message us. If you want a shout out, we're happy to do that.
For sure.
So... thank you, Melanie, for listening. She likes it when I give her a shout out. So.
And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.